Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter. It's concerning Jesus in Gethsemane. We find in the commencement of this chapter that Jesus is speaking unto his disciples that in 2 days the Passover feast would be held, and that he had been already betrayed, and that he soon would have to offer up his life as a sacrifice for their sins. As Jesus speaking unto these disciples, they seemed not to understand what he meant. They seemed not to believe the words that he spake. He spake unto them concerning the feast of the Passover. This feast was a feast that Israel was to keep by divine appointment. It was a memorial of their favor shown by God to them when they were in the land of Egypt, when he sent the destroying angel through the land, and all their firstborn were spared, and the firstborn of all the Egyptians was slain. They were to keep this feast in memorial thereof. This feast lasted 7 days. It was called in another place the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were not permitted to eat any other bread for 7 days. This feast typified the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ. Christ was very prompt in keeping these feasts and ordinances that he himself had instituted under Israel of old. They showed forth in every respect what would take place with him. This lamb which they were to slay was to be without blemish. This typified the purity of the humanity of Jesus Christ, that he was without sin and without blemish, a typical offering of Jesus in this lamb. And likewise, this lamb, he was to be slain by the effusion of blood. Jesus Christ gave himself for sinners by pouring out his soul unto death and shedding his blood for the remission of the sins of many. Therefore, he kept this Passover feast at this present time with a wonderful purpose. We find that the chief priest and the high priest, they had consulted together, they had had a council, and they decided that they would take Jesus prisoner. They would take him craftily, subtly, so that no one would know it, and then they would put him to death. These religious leaders, especially the high priest, gathering for a purpose of murdering an innocent person. You may see in this what sort of men they were, that were the leaders of the religious people under Israel of old at this present time. This Caiaphas, he was a son-in-law to Annas, who had been high priest before. Annas had 2 sons that followed him in this position, but Annas had been put away by the Romans, and now his son-in-law, Caiaphas, was high priest at this present time when Christ suffered this horrible death. And we find that Judas, one of the 12, he went to this council, and he came forward and said unto them, What will you give unto me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And we have here then a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, a Judas, his name Judas Iscariot. We find the commentary speak that they know not where he received his last name from, whether they put this title on him because he was the person that carried the money and took care of everything financially for the group of disciples, or whether it was because he came from a little town by the name of Cariath, south of Jerusalem. This man, Judas, then, he had been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been called by Jesus, and he had followed him and been with him and been his constant companion all the years that Jesus had been in his public ministry. But this man had never been called spiritually by the Holy Spirit. He had no new heart. He had no life of God in his soul. He followed Christ with that that he thought Christ would someday become king, and that he likewise would receive an important position under him. And now we find that he was an enemy of Christ, that he hated him and despised him inwardly. And now at this present time, he went forth to these Jewish leaders. And we read that Luke says, and Satan entered into Judas. Satan, the great enemy of mankind, and especially of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who had tempted Christ when he first came out in his public ministry, likewise tempted this man and put it into his heart to come forward to deliver Christ over into the hands of his enemies. This man, Judas, oh, it should make each and every one of us tremble. A man who had followed Christ so faithfully, who in all probabilities had taught the truth just like the other disciples. For had he not done so, they sure would have come forward and said to Jesus, Judas does not teach like we do. But he had taught the truth, probably in all sincerity, and no one detected that Judas was not sincere, was not upright. He carried this disguise to the very table of our Lord Jesus Christ when he instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. All my hearers, when we read of this man and follow his actions, then we can see how close it can come with a person and still he be a character that has no life in his soul, that is a hypocrite, that is a deceiver. Oh, how should we not tremble if we have made a profession of religion, and if we may teach or speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for our souls, how careful we should be concerning ourselves, lest we may be deceived, and we in the end may also do as Judas did. My hearers, we find the disciples speaking unto Christ, where would he want them to hold the Passover? He spake that they should go into the city to a certain man and tell him that the master's time was come, and that he would show them a large upper room, and that in that room they should prepare the Passover. We find the disciples obedient unto the divine command of Jesus, and they went and they found it as he had said, and they prepared and made ready for the Passover. And then when even was come, we find Jesus gathered together with the 12. And as they sat together in this room, he commenced to speak unto them and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me this night. All my hearers, what must have went on in the hearts of these disciples when Jesus spake these words? Oh, there was one of them that was going to betray their master. Which one was it? And they all began to question inwardly themselves. They began to examine themselves. And truly, they were men that had self-knowledge. They knew their weakness. They knew that they were apt to do anything if Jesus did not uphold them. And therefore we find them coming forward with the question, Lord, is it I? Am I the one that would do that? And every one of these disciples came with this question, is it I? Suppose Jesus put that question to you and me, my hearers. What would you do? Suppose he put it to us as a gathering, one of you shall betray me. Would you just pass it off? Would you just skip it by? Or would you begin to examine yourself and say, possibly it could be me. I am such a sinful creature. I am apt to deceive and to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. How few would examine themselves. How few. It wouldn't affect them at all. Sad to say. But if you are a true disciple, and if you have made a profession of religion, then that would be the first thing that would come home to you. And that it was with these disciples, my hearers. Oh, they were very much concerned whether they were the one that was going to betray Christ. And Christ gave them a sign and said, He it is that shall put his hand in the dish with me. And my hearers, this man Judas, he likewise was assembled with them. He had returned to them. And this man, Judas, he knew what he had done. And when Christ brought this question forth and told them that one of them shall betray them, did he break down? Did he become ashamed? Did he confess that he had done something like this? Oh, I wish we had read something like that about this man. But he was a man that was raised up for this purpose, my hearers. This man showed no shame, no remorse. He carried the deception to Christ himself and said the very same thing that the other disciples said. Lord, is it I? Oh, how far can a person carry his deception, his deceit, his hypocrisy? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said it. Oh, what words that Jesus spake unto this man, all you would think then at this moment he surely would have fell down and confessed all, but he did not. Most of the commentators say that he arose and left them at this point. In John's gospel we read, and he went out. Oh, my hearers, what cannot Satan do in the hearts of human beings? Oh, this great enemy. Oh, I wish that every one of us realized that we have to do with such an enemy. By nature, he is not our enemy. By nature, we are his slaves. We do his bidding. And we have no trouble with Satan. But the instant that you receive life in your soul, then Satan is right there. He would like to deprive you of that life. He would like to make you believe that it's all wrong, that it's not true. Oh, my hearers, this enemy of mankind is seeking to destroy every one of us. Oh, could you but see it? And could you but flee to this precious Jesus who came into this world for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil? Oh, plead with him, my hearers. Plead with him that he may destroy the works of the devil in your heart. And you will not go on any longer serving this enemy, Satan. My hearers, after Judas had left, then Jesus instituted this memorial of his suffering and of his death. He instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And he sat at the head of the table, and he took the bread and he broke it and said unto them, take, eat. This is my body, which shall be given for you. And likewise he took the cup, and blessing it said, take, drink thereout of it. For this is my blood, which shall be shed for the remission of the sins of many. Jesus instituted here a memorial for his church, which shall be kept to the end of time. My hearers, the Roman Catholics, they desecrate this ordinance that Christ has so simply instituted by their ignorance and by their superstition and by their dogmas. They teach that when Christ said, this is my body, that it actually was his body. They believe to this day that when this sacrament is administered, that the bread is turned immediately into the body of Jesus Christ. And likewise, they do not pass the cup to the people, but only the priest drinks out of the cup. They believe then that these words, this is my body, expresses that it actually is. Christ has said many times in Scripture, symboly, what these words also express. He has said, I am the door. Was he then actually a door? Was he a wooden door nailed together with nails? No, it only symbolized that he was the door. This likewise is only a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. This is my body, meaning this is a token, a symbol of how I am going to die, how I am going to suffer, and how my body is going to be broken, and how my blood is going to be shed. This, my hearers, I think is essential and necessary for us, that we hold fast to what Jesus Christ has instituted himself. And now after the supper, they sang a hymn. It was customary when they held the Passover to open up the Passover with the singing of Psalm 113. And they continued singing these psalms until when they left the home or the room, they sang Psalm 118. This was the hymn that usually was sung, and then they left. And after they had sung this hymn, they left this place. And they went out of this place towards Mount Olivet. My hearers, Jesus usually resorted to this mountain. This place, Mount Olivet, was the place that Jesus went to so many times with his disciples, many times to pray, many times to discourse to his disciples. He would take them to this place secluded from all other people and teach them the word of truth. Jesus then went to this Mount Olivet. This Mount Olivet is just outside of the city of Jerusalem, very close to it, according to the commentary. If you ascend this mountain, you have a beautiful sight of the city of Jerusalem. You can look right down into the streets of it. It's just like if you're looking at a model, at a picture of it. So beautiful is this mountain, and so beautiful is the city of Jerusalem when you obtain a view of it. But on this mountain, there were many olive trees, and there was also a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. Here Jesus usually resorted to pray. And many times he went to this place to offer up his devotions unto his Heavenly Father. He spent whole nights in prayer many times. May I ask you a question? How many of my hearers have a place? It doesn't have to be a garden. It doesn't have to be outside of your home. But have you a place where you resort to hold communion with God, to pray unto him in secret, who has commanded us to do so? How few, I think, have such a place. How few have any desire to pray. How few have any need to get alone, to seek God and to call upon him. You have not? You do then not resemble Jesus Christ. Take him as an example, my hearers. Oh, could I entreat every one of you, my hearers, to seek such a place, to make such a place, and to resort to it continually. Then you will be following the example of our Lord and Master. And now when Jesus came to this mountain, and we find him speaking unto his disciples and teaching them likewise that he was going to be taken and that he was going to be slain and that the third day he would rise again and go before them unto Galilee. He said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night.